The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Commanders, Cowboys, Washington comes back to win. It clinches the sixth seed. Were they smart to avoid the Eagles in the wild card round?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it, because, you know, because who they're going to play? They're going to play the
Tampa now.
Yeah, they're going to play Tampa now. Quite honestly, Tampa is the only team I see them that they can beat in the playoffs in the NFC. You know, so they lucked out very well in this game. I feel like Tampa and the and Washington are evenly matched. I mean, you can win with both quarterbacks. Both quarterbacks about what and what as far as stats. You know, I know Baker may have the experience and the playoff experience, and also, you know, game time experience. But for the most part, both of those guys have had, you know, outstanding seasons this year. The receivers are what and what. The defense is what and what. So this is basically about as even of a playoff game is that you're going to get, you know. So, and I think this gave them the best opportunity to win a playoff game, because I don't see them beating the Rams. I don't see them beating the Minnesota Vikings. I don't see them beating Philly. And who else is in the playoffs? I mean, I know I'm missing one. I know Detroit, but they wouldn't have saw them anyway because they're on the bye. Who was the
their options were they were either gonna play Philly,
or we said Tampa
or LA.
Yeah, so I don't see them beating Tampa. I mean, I don't see them beating Philly, and I don't see them beating the Rams. So this was the best opportunity for them to try to get a win by, you know, matching up with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But
Washington got killed by them, but it was very early in the season. So much has changed since the first couple of weeks in September. Yep. The last time Tampa Bay's defense saw, like, what I would describe as a mobile quarterback, and this is obviously the best ever, but they saw Lamar Jackson not too long ago, and they gave up 41 points. So Todd Bowles obviously has a very high defensive acumen, but his defense has not played to that level in the second half of the season. Antoine Winfield's had a quieter year as far as big plays go. You know, you've obviously still got Levante David there doing his thing in his early 30s or mid 30s, still a big time player. But they had to bring guys like Shaq Barrett back because their pass rush isn't what they wanted it to be this year. So, yeah, I think it's a great spot. The other thing, too, is, like, sorry, Tampa, but it's just not an intimidating place to play. They've beaten Philly this year, but it was at home. They go to Philly and there's kids MFing you the second you get off the bus.
Right.
They go to Tampa Bay, it's going to probably be in the 70s, and there might be more Washington fans there than Tampa fans. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a great situation. I thought they were one of the big winners today in everything that happened, Pat.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was big winners as well as far as the seeding of the playoffs for themselves. All right, we got the Chargers and the Raiders. L.A. moved down to the fifth seed to face the Texans. Perfect situation.
Same thing as Washington. They're the AFC version of this. So with the Steelers loss on Saturday, all the Chargers needed to do was beat the Raiders to face Houston, and they took care of business. They struggled in the first quarter and a half, and then Justin Herbert turned it on, ended up throwing for 346 today, played a great game. Yep. He hasn't thrown an interception in 8 straight games, by the way, so he's limited mistakes there. Houston is in the playoffs and hosting a playoff game, Pat, because they went 5-1 against AFC South teams. If they were in any other division, they wouldn't have made the playoffs. They would have been one of the biggest underachievers in the NFL this year. Yeah. So they get Houston. Not only that, but they avoid Baltimore. That's where they would have gone had the Steelers won. And that means traveling west to east, playing in cold weather Saturday night in Baltimore. There's supposed to be like 5 to 9 inches of snow. So one is an LA team to have to go play in that. I know they're a Harbaugh team, so they want to be tough, but that's just really still not, that's just not how I think of the Chargers. So it's a huge break for them. What it does, though, and we'll get into this on Thursday, is It just puts more pressure on Herbert to finally kick down that door and win a playoff game, because there's no excuse. They're the one road team, Pat, that's, according to the odds makers, favored to win in the first round. They're a favorite against Houston, and they should be with how they've played lately.
No doubt about it. They should be 100% just because of the big letdown that the Houston Texans have been all year, especially on the offensive side of the ball, offensive line, especially not being able to protect.
And now here comes Mac and Bosa and Bud Dupree.
And the lowest scoring defense in all of football. You know, so it's going to be a task for the Houston Texans offense to move the ball up and down the football field. So I think this is an opportunity for Justin Herbert to kick down the door to get his first playoff win. I'm not saying that he's going to get it, but this is a great opportunity for him to get it. And with him having playoff experienced coaches, like guys who actually been there, done that with Greg Roman and Jim Harbaugh, you know, so I think this is a great situation for Justin to finally kick that that door down, and a great situation for the Chargers to hopefully gain some momentum and capture some momentum moving forward.
You brought this up. I actually think the other thing that works in their favor here is if they win, they'll play. You'd think they'll play the Chiefs, because if the Bills and Ravens both win, they'll play each other, and then LA would go to Kansas City. And that's all that rust for Kansas City. And I don't think the Chargers are intimidated by playing the Chiefs.
No, they see them twice a year.
And they played them close.
Yeah.
They could have won the second game, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough to beat a team three times in one season. I'll leave it there with them. Let's do Giants and Eagles. Philly won. They didn't play Saquon. Will it be easy to put that behind them now? Is that chapter closed? Is that something that now everyone's over as they go into the playoffs, in your opinion?
I think everyone is over it right now. Saquon will not be over it at the end of the season just because how close he was. And they better win a championship, because that's going to be something that makes this a little bit easier. Because me, I would have at least played him the first half just to see how close he could have got to the record, to be able to etch his name in stone in the record books as the head honcho, possibly as an NFL leading rusher. Man, that's just something that's something that's very hard to accomplish. A lot of guys have, you know, attempted, you know, and came close to it. You know, I know it's a huge accomplishment by being a ninth player to rush for 2,000 yards, but it's only one guy that has 2,100 plus yards, and he could have been, you know, the second guy, possibly the only guy. With, you know, I can't remember the exact number, but he could have broke the record and been the only guy sitting on top of the mountain, you know. So I think after the season, it will haunt Saquon, especially if they don't win a championship. But I do think it's a huge accomplishment for the offensive linemen, because I don't think the Philadelphia Eagles ever had a 2,000 yard rusher in their franchise, you know. So I think that was an accomplishment for them, but I just wanted to see Saquon at least play a half. I know they got bigger fish to fry. The Super Bowl is not guaranteed. As far as even him being healthy in the playoff is not even guaranteed. Let me knock on wood, because, you know, I want to see him, you know, stay healthy, but a lot of things are not guaranteed. And when you have an opportunity right there in front of you, like, you got to be able to seize those moments. And, man, I just hated to see that he didn't even get an opportunity to suit up in an attempt to break the record.
At least Nick Sirianni was true to his word. I mean, he didn't play anybody today.
I looked at
the starting lineup. There were no starting offensive linemen in there. There were no starting receivers. There were no starting defensive players. So it's not like he handpicked three or four guys and played everybody else. So yep. Saquon can't do the, well, what about this guy? You played him and he didn't play me.
Right.
So in that way, at least he was consistent as a coach. Do you agree with what Eric Dickerson said? Eric Dickerson came out and some people gave him, he said, look, it's my record. I don't want my record to be broken. I respect Saquon. I wish him well. But people that say that I should want him to break my record don't have any records. He's right.
Hey, he's dead right, man. That's how old timers are, man. They want to hold
on. I don't think that's salty. Like, I don't think
that's just think that's salty mentality.
I agree with him on that. I wouldn't want my record broken.
Yeah, I mean, records are meant to be broken, but at the same time, if it's your record, you don't want it to be broken. Yeah, that's just the reality, especially if you're a competitor and you know, you know, obviously what it takes to go into, you know, capturing that record. Like, you want that to last forever. Like, you want to be the only one to have that title. And that's just the reality of a competitor and a professional athlete.
Yeah.
Seahawks, Rams, LA rest guys and lost out on the three spot, the three seed. Bad move?
I think so. They went into full tank mode today. And we just went over why it was so beneficial for Washington to be 6 instead of 7, play Tampa, avoid Philly. What LA did by punting on this game was they went from 3, so they would have hosted Washington. And instead, now they put themselves in a spot, Pat, where they've got to beat Minnesota and Detroit in back-to-back weeks to get to the NFC Championship game. Teams that are combined 29-5. I'd rather play Washington, period.
Me too.
I mean, I just – like, McVay does this in the preseason, and that's a totally different story, but still, he's, like, big on resting guys. He'd rather guys get the time off. And not everybody plays for seed, especially when we're not talking about a bye. We're just talking about where you're sorted out, where you're ranked. But, man, he really just said the hell with it. I don't care who we're playing or where we're playing them. Maybe that message, like – that's a resounding one, and guys appreciate that in the locker room. Mm-hmm. But the other thing he could have said is, we don't take weeks off, and we're going to go out and beat a good Seattle team to get ourselves ready for the playoffs. He could have played that card too, and he decided not to.
Yeah, but I kind of get where Sean was coming from in this game, especially the injuries that they had to endure on the offensive side of the ball, you know, throughout the season.
That's a good rebuttal, man.
Yeah, so they finally end up getting guys healthy, and they, you know, they finally got caught sync and end up winning games to, you know, to help them prevail to finally, you know, get into the playoff hunt. And now they end up capturing the NFC.
You think they'll just steal Detroit's game plan against Minnesota and do the same exact thing defensively against them?
100%. It's a copycat league, you know. So they, I won't say they're gonna copy their entire game plan, but I'll be lying if I told you that it won't be some wrinkles in that game that we saw tonight that the Rams going to throw at Minnesota to see if they corrected it, because that's just how the league go. Like, we all watch film, we all, you know, watch each other games and watch each other weaknesses, and we're going to try to attack those weaknesses to see if you worked on those weaknesses throughout the week of practice, you know. So that's going to my point again, what I was saying early on. And the show is, that's going to be Kevin O'Connell's opportunity. Is, we know they like to operate on the play action, those deep shots down the field. Now he's probably going to have to rely more on, especially early in the early part of the game, is get Sam in a rhythm. Like, get him some early, you know, three-step reads, getting the ball out of his hand quick, some spacing routes, some different high lows and things like that, versus coming out doing, you know, coming out trying to, you know, gun blazing to the walls. To where now teams are just going to, because you don't have the best offensive line in the game. The guys are just good enough to, you know, hold up to right. Get Sam a good enough time to get the ball down the field. But now guys see that, you know, give him some exotic looks, put some games on the offensive linemen to confuse those guys a little bit. I mean, to confuse those guys a little bit, you know, it's going to wreak havoc, you know. And like I said, this is a copycat league, and I'll be lying to you if I said that the Rams would not be pulling something out of Detroit game plan that they showed here tonight.
Bills, Patriots, Pat. New England fired Gerard Mayo after just one season. What's your reaction to him winning this game today and then getting the pink slip right afterwards?
Man, it sucked, but I'm not surprised, you know, with the aura and the reputation that the New England Patriots have carried over so many years. Like, this is a organization that is not used to winning 5 games or 4 games, I believe they won this season. It was a complete embarrassment to them, you know. So I kind of saw this coming, especially when I start hearing the rumbles of Mike Vrabel will have interest in coming back. When I saw that, I was like, oh, I know Mr. Kraft came out and said that, you know, Gerard Mayo will be back next year. I said, don't look like it now. You know what I mean? So, in my opinion, I can see Mike Vrabel being the next head coach. I won't be surprised if they name him the next head coach within the next 3 weeks. But I'm not surprised as well that Gerard got the pink slip, because you just saw no progression throughout the season. And they want to be able to help, you know, guys right now, especially owners, they want to be able to have somebody in place that's going to help their young quarterback, their franchise quarterback flourish, especially if they don't have a veteran quarterback. You know what I mean? So they're trying to match these young guys up with someone that fits their athletic ability, the way they like to throw the football, and things like that, because that's going to set them up for success. Like, we just can't continue just hiring a defensive-minded guy who really won't go out and spend the time to put the offensive guy in place to help the young quarterback flourish. You know what I mean? So if you go back and look at any defensive-minded head coach, I don't know what it is. They always have a hard time hiring an offensive coordinator. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I think that was, you know, not that was, that is going to be something moving forward with these quarterbacks that these teams are drafting. They're going to want to have offensive coordinators or a head coach that's going to be in place to help their young quarterback flourish, because they don't want their, you know, if they're going out and drafting these guys in the first round, they just don't want these guys to be around for 2 and 3 years. We all know how valuable quarterbacks and how hard it is to find a quarterback. So they expect those guys to be around 10 plus years. You know what I mean? So that's what these owners are starting to figure out. They're going to go out and get offensive coordinators and head coaches that better match with their quarterback to help them have better success moving forward.
Well, that's why I think if they're firing Gerard Mayo for Ben Johnson, it makes sense. If they're firing him for Mike Vrabel, it makes less sense to me. I mean, I still get it. Vrabel has had success in this league. He went to the AFC Championship game in Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill as his quarterback, and they had the best record in the AFC 1 year with Tannehill as his quarterback, but he's not an offensive guy. He played linebacker in the NFL, for crying out loud. So he's going to be in the same situation where if he has an offensive coordinator that has success, he's probably going to lose him to another to a head coaching job somewhere else. I still think Mayo got a raw deal. I mean, we talked about before the season started, the two of us, that Drake May probably shouldn't play there this year because of how bad the team was. And they were putting the quarterback in a position to fail by putting him out there when their offensive line, more offensive line starting combinations than any team in the league, no weapons to speak of in their passing game. Kendrick Bourne, Demario Douglas were their top two receivers. Hunter Henry was probably their most reliable target. I mean, that's not putting a quarterback in position to succeed. And that's not putting a head coach in a position to succeed. Their defense got worse this year. It went from 15th to 25th. They won the same amount of games this year as they did with Belichick last year. So I just don't know what the Kraft's expected out of Gerard Mayo this year. To win 10 games with that roster and that division with Jacoby Brissett as your starting quarterback at the beginning of the year, I thought it was a transitional year. So that's what I'm confused about. If you liked Gerard Mayo before the season started, you had to anticipate that growing pains were going to happen. And this was going to be a tough year. And you saw Drake May make progress. So if you get Ben Johnson or Vrabel, I'm going to say at the end of the day, it sucks for Gerard Mayo, but it was worth it. But if you don't get one of those two guys, I think the dude totally got the shaft there. I mean, you played for Steve Wilks in Arizona. I think he got totally fucked.
I mean, he got
1 year, and it was your quarterback situation was horrible that season.
Yeah.
So I just feel bad for coaches like that, man. They get their one crack at it, and this is how they get traded by their owner. Kraft's not used to winning, but I think they set the bar too high where they fire a guy after winning only 4 games this year with a backup quarterback as his guy to begin the season.
All right, Bears-Packers, Chicago in 11-game losing streak to the Green Bay Packers. Something to build on?
Not really.
Yeah, no. I agree.
You beat them today with Jordan Love coming out of that game with an injury. Christian Watson got hurt. Josh Jacobs only touched the ball 6 times. The Packers tanked it. I mean, it's one of those situations where it was a lose-lose. If you beat Green Bay, I'm going to say, well, look at all the guys that were out of the lineup. If you lose to Green Bay, I would have said, oh, my God, what an embarrassing end to the season for the Bears. So I probably was not going to say anything positive about them unless Caleb Williams played a monster game today, which he didn't. He threw for 148 yards. The best I can say about him is that he just did not really screw it up. They are going to be a very interesting team this offseason because not only do they have to get their own house in order, but you look around that division and you're like, oh, crap. The right. other three teams are really, really good. And the NFL can change and turn on a dime, but there's a lot of jobs out there. Just the division they're in makes it a tough gig. And you just got to love Caleb Williams. And I'm not sure every coach is going to say they love him, even though he was the number one pick in the draft, Pat.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything to build on. Just because, like you said, that the division that they're in is brutal. You got the Green Bay Packers. You got, you know, the number one seed right now in the NFC and in the Detroit Lions. Hell, all three teams that's ahead of you are in the playoffs right now. You know what I mean? So it's going to be an uphill climb, you know, six games in your own division. You know what I mean? The best play in that game was DJ Moore up the sideline, that screen, man. The way he was able to slither in and out of the that traffic and get up the sideline and just hit another speed.
Yeah.
That was quite interesting to see a receiver move the way he did, moving the way he did, looking like a running back in open field, you know. So that was quite impressive to show off the movement and the speed after having the ball in his hands. But I don't really think there's nothing to really build off of here because you still don't have a head coach. You still don't have an OC. There's so much right now still up in the air. You know what I mean? You got Caleb saying that he want to be Coach Harder. So we don't know if you're going to hire the coach that's going to be able to do that. You know what I mean? And again, you got three teams in your division that's in the playoffs right now that's astronomically better than you. You know what I mean? So you got a lot of work to do in your own house before you start thinking about, you know, that you're ready to compete with the other three teams within your division.